Welcome to this week's episode of Time Added On. It is a later episode than usual, one after the pod has just crawled back from Vegas. Tom will come on to Vegas in a minute. But another international break. We've got an international break now, 2 weeks off. Perfect time to reflect on where Forest are currently after the draw at Palace. And we will look ahead, of course, to the visit of Luton. But Tom, how are you? How is Vegas? We've just spent 5-10 minutes talking about Vegas, but you look all right, no worse than normal, and you made it back in one piece. So yeah, the lift is a fuming, by the way, delayed pod, but yeah, you're back.
I was hoping I'd come out of the tan, but nothing doing there. One half of the pod calling back from Vegas, one half of the pod watching the Bake Off last night with a full packet of Jaffa Cakes.
That is true. You can't beat your Tuesday night Jaffas. But what was it in Vegas, by the way? We didn't talk about that.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah, you two were fantastic. Hot? Very hot, 35 degrees, sunny. But it's weird because the whole of outside is absolutely scorching, and inside in every building, you're then freezing. Can't be good for your health, that, because aircon is like blasting at you. And they're obviously pumping you with oxygen or whatever to keep you awake on the old casino. So, yeah, that is fantastic, though. Loved it. I definitely recommend if you get the opportunity.
Oh, hopefully. Did you have a gamble? Did you lose any money? I can't imagine you were gambling too heavily.
A very small flutter, very small. We put a bit of money on for the whip to double our money. We put it all on red, and we got that. That was double our money. It came out as red 5, and I thought to myself, another day I would have fought Aral Mangala. I've been speaking about him enough over the last few weeks.
You haven't stopped talking about him, yeah.
Yeah, red 5 it came out. If we'd done that, that would have been weekend faithful. But we still doubled our money on that, so that was good.
That's all right. Well, let's talk about football as opposed to your heavy gambling weekend in Vegas. But let's Palace. We've had a few days, obviously, reflect on this now, so we're coming. It's a little bit later than normal. A lot was said coming into the game because of obviously Palace's injury problems. We've said before, we've got a couple of mates who support Palace. I was getting inundated with text messages Friday night, Saturday morning, saying how easy this game should be for Forest, and how if Forest didn't roll Palace over, serious questions would need to be asked. I think some were presuming that this would be an easy Forest victory. Given the starting 11s of each side, I actually thought Palace's starting 11 was still relatively strong in terms of Premier League experience, albeit with obviously obvious exceptions of the likes of Elise and Eze out. What did you make of this as a result, just from the off?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think if there's a time to play Palace, it would be now. I think, you know, other teams would look at playing anyone at this point, and with that injury list, you would go, yeah, you know, this is the perfect time. This is the perfect opportunity. I think it does kind of feel slightly like a missed opportunity for me. I know we've got this thing about away Premier League games, but I think Forest have shown enough in the first run of games that they have definitely improved away from home, and they've got a bit more nous about them. The one thing about that Palace side, I would say still, is that it's a team that have played together for a much longer amount of time than the Forest team have, regardless of the quality difference we might think at this moment in time between those two teams. They've played together for a lot longer, and they've been in the Premier League, a lot of those players, a lot longer than the opposition players of Nottingham Forest had by that point. So They have that up their sleeve, which I've said before is probably a bigger thing than what you think it is, because it's just having that general Premier League nous and the pace of the game and what's not. But it was an opportunity, I think, for Forest. And I think all in all, Forest played very well. But, you know, I could probably take a clip from the last pod or the podcast before that, and I could pretty much copy and paste what I said, and no one would tell the difference, because I just do think there's some narrative similarities between some of the previous games as well.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I think that Palace side, people who were suggesting this should be an easy away win. First of all, easy away wins aren't really a thing in the Premier League unless you're in, you know, a top six club potentially. So easy away wins, they don't really exist in the Premier League for teams probably seventh downwards. I think when you look at that Palace starting 11, you know, you look at the back five, if you like, so keeper and back four, they are very experienced Premier League players, and probably not a million miles off Palace's starting back five. You know, you look at like Sam Johnstone, Joachim Andersen, Mark Gahey. You know, they are their kind of first choice centre half and goalkeeper. You know, so it wasn't as if the whole team was completely decimated. Yes, they were missing Decore in midfield, and obviously they would have wanted Eze and Elise in there. But I think a lot was being said about Palace. But you know, Forest weren't injury free. We weren't going in there with a free hit. Don't get me wrong, we have nowhere near the amount of injuries as Crystal Palace. But the one thing you'd say about Crystal Palace's squad is that I think they have this season made a conscious decision to maybe streamline it back a little bit. They don't have the strength in depth that a lot of Premier League clubs do. They have a really, really strong starting 11, probably 15, 16 players, but then a lot of their squad is made up of youngsters from their academy, which is the way that Palace have decided to do it this year to make up their 25-man squad. So I think Forest are obviously missing the likes of Taiwo. They're missing Ola Aina, who's been outstanding for us so far this season. So Forest not completely injury-free, but yeah, I do agree coming into the match, you would have been looking at it, and you know, Crystal Palace away is not an easy game for any team, I don't think. Crystal Palace, we've talked about Palace, haven't we, for a long time, as almost being the yardstick for what, you know, Forest now want to become on this next, or what we would perceive Forest wanting to become in terms of the next stage of their journey. Therefore, I think to go to Palace and play the way that Forest did, I think it's more the performance, right? The way that Forest played, I would say on the face of the overall game, Forest were the better side. I thought they dominated large periods of the game, albeit Palace obviously had some really good chances themselves, which we'll come on to talk about. But I think on the face of it, Forest were the better side and probably could have edged it. I think the one thing that has probably let Forest down more often than not in these opening eight games is that lack of cutting edge, or maybe it's the consistency up top. And, you know, maybe that is to be expected because obviously we are bedding in a significant amount of new signings. It's still to click. But I think that's the only criticism I would possibly have coming out of this game, is that Forest had the chances and didn't manage to put one of them in the back of the net. But I still think it was a good performance, and Forest, you know, they edged it overall, I would say.
Yeah, I think I'd change. Forest could have edged it, should have edged it. You know, I should think have edged it, yeah. In terms of the performance, Forest had a lot of the ball, but I think that was the game in a way. You know, I think it was a game which flattered to deceive for a lot of it. It was a Crystal Palace team that I think, as a result of those injuries, we're trying to make it maybe a little bit boring. We're quite happy for Forest to have a lot of the ball and maybe expected Forest to go at them as a result of all that. And they just weren't that great, I think, in the first half, definitely in the second half, slightly different at hitting Forest when they had a lot of the ball. But Forest then, as you said, struggled to do what they've struggled to do over the last few games. And this is the thing, you know, we can keep repeating ourselves. It's having that cutting edge in the final third. Doesn't help that you've got a 1 year out, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why, you know, we have the options that we do. And you're kind of hoping for some of those. I mean, look, Forest had a couple of golden chances, I think, that could have been a goal made brilliantly by some individual solo efforts. But then, as you also say, so did Palace. So it was a really interesting game. Forest, first half, I think Forest completely dominated in terms of possession and just the, you know, you almost felt like Forest were at home. If you didn't know anything about these two teams, you probably felt like Forest were at home. And second half, maybe a little bit less so in terms of dominance, but still Forest cut it for me, have the edge on Palace, albeit they also had some golden opportunities and maybe one of the best chances of the game for me in that second half.
Yeah, they did. I think the other pleasing thing for me is, you know, whilst we talk about the perhaps the lack of cutting edge, I think the way that Forest defended, both teams were resolute. I think that's probably the best way you'd sum up the game, right, in terms of resolute defences, probably, you know, both a little bit stale up top. But the Forest have kept a clean sheet away from home in the Premier League, not to be sniffed at. Steve Cooper said as much in his post-match interview. You know, how often last season would we have strived for that? I think it's probably a barometer of how expectations have changed and how Forest have really been performing. Because we sat here and we talked last week about aspects of the Brentford game that we were really pleased with. And I think I came away from that one personally quite optimistic. What I saw this weekend away at Palace has also filled me with quite a bit of optimism. And you get the sense that it will come, that it will click. You know, you've seen glimpses from Hudson-Odoi. Probably wasn't his best 60-odd minutes this week, but Alanga comes on and it's just, you know, another kind of a different type of player, if you like, down that wing. I think Gibbs-White was good at the weekend. So there's enough there. There's enough positivity within it. I thought Forrest will take a lot from it, and I think they'll take a lot into the international break from this performance. I mean, in terms of the starting 11, we speculated whether Steve Cooper might revert to a back three or whether he'd keep the back four. I think, actually, in hindsight, really pleased that he kept that back four. I think it's, you know, we talked about maybe keeping the back four and having a set on side, starting to learn the kind of the patterns. We thought the midfield, obviously, last week was against Brentford was outstanding. So it was the only one disappointment was a 1 year out, obviously injured out for the next 4, 5, potentially 6 weeks. And obviously the only other, I suppose, close call, if you like, was Turner keeping his place ahead of Odyssey. So, I mean, what did you make of the team? Were you pleased to see that back four retained and Turner keep his place in goal?
Yeah, I think it was the right decision to keep Turner in goal. I don't think there should, like, obviously there was always going to be question marks, because I think any time there's going to be an error, that's the beauty, I suppose, in some aspects of having what we believe to be two decent goalkeepers, albeit we haven't seen Vlachodimos play yet in a Forest shirt. You know, when a keeper makes an error, there might be that odd call for the keeper to then change. But I think given the overall performances of Turner so far this season, he was very much right to keep his place. And I don't think he did much wrong in this one either, albeit I don't think he was necessarily threatened loads in the game. He looked, you know, assured at the back when he was needed. And that's all you kind of want with that kind of performance that he's got. You know, other calls, as you said, I mean, one year was out, Chris Wood to me makes sense. There was a few people calling for Origi, but at the end of the day, Chris Wood's played a little bit more of this team. He knows a bit more about this team. And look, he's a threat at this level still, regardless of whether there's still, you know, people are huge fans of him or not. He knows this level very well. I think the problem we almost had in this game was that they've got so used to playing with a 1 year on a more regular basis that Chris Wood doesn't do the same stuff as what a 1 year does. Really, Chris Wood's waiting for the ball to get into the box for him. 1 year might pick it up and just bombard defenders and run at them and scare them to death. So slightly different approach, obviously, with him. And that's, again, that's something these players have to learn as they train together a bit more and playing games a bit more and be in those situations, is what the different players need. If a 1 year's on the pitch, he'll do this. If Wood's on the pitch, Chris Wood is on the pitch, he'll do this. So, you know, I think all in all, the consistency was good, and I'm sure we'll have a whole cameo section on him shortly. But, you know, keeping that consistency for Murillo, for example, someone who's young and needs to be in the team probably on a regular basis to improve his quality even further, I think that was nice to see. You know, he wasn't just kind of dipped in and out. He seems like it's his place to lose now, which is nice. Not every manager has that approach. They might have dipped him in for one game and gone all maybe a step too far, but he's kept the confidence in here, which is good to see. And I think that confidence was repaid and almost repaid brilliantly a few times in the match for creative decisions rather than defensive decisions. So, yeah, no, I think it was the right team in the end as well.
Yeah, I agree with the Turner piece that you just said there. I think he was definitely right. I think it would have been a real a crushing blow for his confidence if he was to be left out post Brentford. I actually thought he did okay. Still a couple of shaky moments on crosses, etc. But I thought he did okay. He'll feel much better after that performance. So he didn't have that many saves to make at all. But in terms of commanding the box, it was obviously a lot more assured than it was the week before. Happy with the back four. I think we've got a kind of a good system going on there now in terms of Murillo and Bolly in the middle. The midfield three at the minute just pick themselves, right? If they stay fit, they are by far our best three in the centre of the park. I thought they were all outstanding again. I thought Mangala is really growing into. Let's get Mangala in there, because I know you like talking about Mangala, but I thought he was outstanding again. I thought Sangare, probably, again, he's just growing in confidence in that first half, especially on on Saturday. And Dominguez was what Dominguez has been since he's made his debut, right? So unlucky not to win it in the last minute. What a goal that would have been as well to take all 3 points back to Nottingham. But they are really starting to build a formidable partnership now in the middle of the park. And yeah, up top, look, it was the right call. We expected Gibbs White to come back in. I think Gibbs White and Hudson-Odoi are going to be, for the foreseeable, the favoured two, if you like, in behind a front man. And I think with a 1 year out, Wood was definitely the best choice. I think he scored that crucial goal at the start of the season against Sheffield United. Never really lets you down. You know, when he's come on, he's done a job for you. I think you're right. But Gibbs White said as much in his post-match interview, didn't he, that the skill sets that Woody's got is really beneficial to us. It's just that it's really different to what a 1 year brings. And yeah, they've got to learn that, because obviously if a 1 year is going to be out for the next 5 or 6 weeks, that is going to be a problem. I don't think Origi is at the point of being match fit yet to start 90 minutes. Now, they might work on that. They've got 2 weeks now until the next match, or a week and a half now. They'll have worked those players. I don't think Origi's gone on international duty. So he will be there and able to work with Steve Cooper and work on his fitness. And you never know, at home against Luton, you might make a change and you might see Origi up top and they might rotate those two. But I think Chris Wood actually played all right, to be honest with you as well. I think some of the criticism that he's got is just because he's not Tyro Awoniyi. But he's never going to be Tyro Awoniyi, and I think we have to appreciate that. But I think he did a job, and I think Forrest is still learning how to utilise him and play to his strengths. I mean, look, let's talk about Murillo, because you teed it up there. That was going to be my next point anyway. I mean, we were all raving about his Brentford debut after he got over his early, you know, first 5-10 minutes nerves. No real nerves about this performance at all, was there? He looked assured from the off. Everything that we saw that was good about his game against Brentford, he brought into the Palace game, wanting to play out from the back. He's happy to bring the ball into midfield. And his range of passing was outstanding, wasn't it, throughout the match. I mean, he created a wonderful chance for Morgan Gibbs-White of his long diag that Morgan Gibbs-White was so unlucky not to finish. He just hits his heel as opposed to the main part of his foot and lobs it over the keeper. And that looks like, well, arguably that would have been goal of the season. But then Murillo's move as he danced through midfield and took on about 3 or 4 Palace players before being unable to put the finish. I mean, that would have easily been goal of the season. The amount of times that people have talked to me about that since Saturday evening, it was unbelievable. But he's getting rave reviews, and he deserves it. He looks to be one hell of a talent, doesn't he? And we don't want to get too carried away, because it is literally two performances. But to play like he's done, 21 years old, coming from a completely different country, different way of playing, to be able to just slot in seamlessly from the off, that's really promising, isn't it?
Yeah, it's almost a shame the game was on TV, because you'll have more people now trying to work out the weaknesses in his game and target him maybe a little bit after all the hype. It can be quite easy to do that, but he was fantastic. I mean, the one where he dribbled past everyone and had a shot himself, I mean, it was almost Ronaldinho-esque until
he got to that final. Is that the best move you've ever seen? Like, in terms of, I mean, I don't think we've ever seen we've struggled to see midfield players do that at Forest, but we haven't seen a centre-back do that, have we, in a Forest shirt? Not that I can think of.
Yeah,
anyway.
No, it was a bit mental. I mean, when I was in the bar in Vegas, there was like loads of people watching, and there was people behind us who all of a sudden not said a word to us until that point, and just all of a sudden went, who the bloody hell is he? Where have you got him from? Like it just seems to really pique people's his interest into his and his performance. And as you said, like, you can't take away the passing range that he's got. That ball for Morgan Gibbs-White was almost perfect. And I mean, the shot from Gibbs-White was almost perfect. It was really difficult for him to finish that off, and he almost did. I mean, if either of those goals come off, you're talking about two contenders for goal of the season at the end of the season. I quite like Match of the Day 2's little feature of almost goal of the season, which featured quite a few other Forest attempts as well. But yeah, I mean, he looks a real talent. The key for him now is keeping that consistent in the games coming up. He's got a perfect opportunity at home against Luton, and then it picks up again a little bit in terms of the quality that he's got to face against Liverpool away. But, you know, it's good to see his confidence is already, kind of sky high, if you like, to a point. I mean, to be able to attempt what he did in that game and to be able to have the confidence to take players on. Not many players of his age who've just come over and that be his second Premier League game would even have the audacity to do what he did for, well, his almost goal. And even the passing range to Gibbs White, like that, you know, would go straight out for a lot of centre backs. So we'll go straight to the goalkeeper. So fantastic performance. It's now just about consistency. There will be games where his performances drop off, you know, because of his age and him coming over from Brazil and still adjusting to the Premier League. Like I said, the likelihood is now is that people will see his game and go, right, how can we benefit to that ourselves? But that, you know, that's where fans have got to be patient. There will be still a bedding in period for him, but he's got off to a wonderful start and first impressions count. So yeah, he's done very well.
I think to try what he did there, certainly with that mazy run away from home in a Premier League match, is outstanding. If he'd done that at the City Ground with his own fans behind him, you might have said, well, that's what's given him the confidence to try it. But he's done that in an away game in the Premier League. Forest, you would not have seen that in anyone in a Forest shirt last season, even trying to attempt that last year from that part of the pitch. I think he's outstanding, and I think he's definitely got a bright future ahead of him. He looks like a star in the making. I think you're right. I think we've got to temper it a little bit. Just, you've got to think about Danilo. When he came over, Cooper obviously popped him in, took him out, put him back in again, and obviously benefited from that. Murillo looks like he's in a part of the pitch, and he's made a start that I think was better than Danilo's start last season. And you just think if he could start to build up a bit of momentum, he can get a bit of a partnership going with Willy Bolly, which looks like a really good partnership at the moment, then that should give him the confidence, you know, to continue to play. And you said Luton at home next, they're going to give him a bit of a challenge. They've got some physical players, but he's got a great chance now to really stamp his authority on that area of the pitch. And I think with him in there, you know, it looks like that's one of the spots nailed down now. And it's about who partners Murillo as opposed to perhaps thinking otherwise. But yeah, absolutely outstanding. Definitely the moment of the first half. Toff had a good chance as well. First half, he hit a long ranger. So, you know, all these nearly moments, you mentioned the match of the day piece, but they all built up. And I think Forest really dominated that first half. And I think second half, it continued. I suppose the big disappointment for Forest in that first half was Aurier coming off, Montiel coming on. But let's just have a word on Montiel, because we mentioned him, you know, we've mentioned him a couple of times. We mentioned him obviously after the Man City game. Absolutely berated after that first, after his home debut against Burnley. You know, we talked about how much better he'd been in that Man City defeat, etc. And I thought when he came on second half on Saturday, he looked assured, and it was another really good performance from him. And again, so unlucky not to score with that hell of a volley, wasn't it, that was deflected over the bar. I mean, that also would have been a really difficult technique, the way that came down. But he took it really well. And I mean, if that one had got in, it would have been absolutely... Forest could have scored a shed load of wonder goals here. But his overall performance, I thought, was good.
Yeah, I think... you know, I just spoke there about first impressions count, and Murillo's doing a really good job of it. You know, it's kind of the opposite for Montiel, unfortunately, is that his first impressions, I still think he's shaking off some very early judgment, which seems to be some stubborn judgment on his behalf. Some of that might be due to various other reasons as well, which is understandable. But, you know, in terms of the performances he's put in on the football pitch since that, you know, it was a bad performance. I can't disagree with that. But I think his performances that he's put in since have been good. I think he's had to come in. You know, it's not easy coming in, you know, halfway through a game due to someone getting off injured. And obviously these players are top professionals, and they always have to be prepared, and they have to be ready, and they have to put in the highest performance as possible. But it ain't as easy. And I think he's done a good job when he has come on. And I think, you know, I don't want to kind of skip past Toffolo either. Because I think, you know, you mentioned him there. I think obviously he's had to come in the way that he has, and he still has this reputation of maybe being of a lower calibre because he signed from a Championship club, and, you know, maybe part of a certain group of players last season that people believe were brought in purely for, you know, a backup if Forest go down and that kind of stuff. But he's done very well. And like I said before, I stick by what I say. There's nothing wrong with having a Mr. Reliable at times, and not to the standards or the flair, if you like, of certain other players in your team. Like, I still think he's done a very good job in the two games that he's appeared in the last two games. He's done an excellent job of getting himself up that list in terms of having a prominent place in the team. So fair play to him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. He has done really well in the last couple of games. He played well again, Toffolo, on Saturday night. And if the, you know, the left backs Tavares, Aina aren't fit to go against Luton, he will continue. And, you know, we said it last week, didn't we? You know what you're going to get with Toff. He's not going to let you down. He's always put a shift in. And he did that again on Saturday night, and he was brilliant. But I was tough for Monty Allen. I think he's really started to show, when he's got his chance, what a player he can be. And hopefully Serge isn't out for too long, and it was just a minor tweak, etc. And he comes back in, because, you know, we don't want to miss him. I think he genuinely has been outstanding when he's played this season, Serge Aurier. And he's a leader now, right? He's the captain in Joe Warren's absence, so we don't want him to be out. But again, another good understudy, if you like, in Monty Allen. I thought it was a good performance. The Palace best chance, we touched on Palace having chances. The one that they did have in the second half was through Mateta, and you would have banked on him hitting the target. I think if he hits the target with the chance where Turner's diving low to his left-hand side, I think if he hits the target, Turner's in real trouble, isn't he? And I suppose that was the only real chance Palace had second half that I can think of, where you really worried for Forest. But, you know, that one should have been a goal and a bit of a wake-up, if you like. You know, Forest have done really well, I think, on Saturday, as I said, being defensively solid. But there's that little lapse, isn't there? And you're going to give those type of chances away in the Premier League. But luckily, it fell to Mateta and Palace. If you gave that to another Premier League side, chances are that ends up in the bottom corner. And that would be the little watch out for them, isn't it, from a concentration point of view?
Yeah, well, we had the same conversation, actually, during the game. I think when you're going from that back three, and maybe players who are used to playing in that back three, five, whatever you want to call it, your three centre-backs, and then you go to a two, naturally there's going to be a change in mindset. And when you've got that kind of security blanket with your three, but having the two and the communication between the two is more important than ever. And when you've got one who is... seems quite attacking at times, and is still getting used to the league and adjusting to the league and of the age he is, and then another one who's a bit more experienced, a bit more of kind of your no nonsense centre back. That, you know, that communication will come, but there was definitely lapse. I think there was a couple of scares from Palace in that second half. I think maybe a free header, I'm thinking in my head, and obviously the Mateta one that you've mentioned there. Yeah, another day that goes in, and probably should have been a goal, to be quite honest. That should have been 1-0 to Palace. But we've said it already, Forest had their fair share of chances. I think this was the thing with this game. It was very, you know, you could argue for both teams in terms of the chances they ended up creating. But it's something Forest have to watch out. And that's what I'm saying in terms of those, you know, changing it from a 5 to a 2, or a 5 to a 4, or a back, you know, centre-back 2, centre-back 3 is... That's another thing that they've got to get used to, is quickly changing their mindset and where they should be, and that communication when they do change that up as well.
Are we seeing with this Forest side now that play Palace, are we starting to see those patterns of play? So you talked about switching from a 3 to a 4, and we'll talk about Luton in a minute and how Forest might change their approach there. But are you seeing now, with the team that we've got on paper at Palace, yes, Tyro was probably in it. And let's be honest, for all of Toffolo's strengths, if Aina was fit, he would probably start at left back with Aurier at right back. Bar those two, are we starting to see what you would believe on paper to be Forest's best 11? We talk about the Murillo and Bolly partnership. We talk about the midfield three. You know, Hudson-Odoi and Gibbs-White, we want them to play so that they can form that partnership, and understanding that Gibbs-White and Johnson had now. Forest have got a lot of players, bedding a lot of new players in, but already, even 8 games into the season, I'm starting to see those patterns. I mean, in midfield, you know, you can bring the likes of Yates off the bench. I'd love Forest to have had the option of bringing on Danilo at the weekend, because I think bringing on Danilo as opposed to Yates, not a slight on Yates, but you put Danilo in there for Sangare, and that's a little bit more forward-thinking, a little bit more attacking. I think, obviously, we still want to see, you know, can we get Felipe back on the pitch at some point? But, you know, and there's an abundance of options, obviously, at centre half, and I think fullback, you know, you still want to see whether we've got the best, what we can get out of Tavares, etc. And I still think all of those players that I mentioned will get game time. But I think on the face of it, I think we're not far off seeing our best 11, are we?
No, I think you've got a spine, you know, you've got a kind of a base to work off. I think the beauty of this team should be, though, that we don't necessarily always have a settled 11. You know, for me, Danilo was one of my favourite players when he came in last season. But then again, I'm also a huge fan of Mangala, Sangare and Dominguez at the moment. So that's a headache for Steve Cooper to worry about and not Tom Denman at the end of the day. But, you know, Danilo for me would be someone who, if we're going off of the informed Danilo we saw at the end of last season, he'd be straight in. I think, again, it's his shirt to win and someone else's to lose. And that, you know, that's the same question mark for a few places. Nicarte, you know, coming back in. Felipe's injury seems like it's probably a bad one. And we might not see him again for a while. But there should be these questions to be had. But what I am seeing, which I agree with, is kind of these players start to take shape. And when players are coming off and on, that you don't see that disrupted too much. And I think that's what we saw against Palace, actually. My concern was, oh, maybe if this player comes on, we'll go back into our shell a little bit, or we'll start doing this slightly differently. And obviously some players will come on to change it up, you know, to try and bring something slightly different. But all in all, they all recognise, you know, where each player is going to be, and they're seeing those patterns of play, as you say, and you know, that's the positive thing we're seeing. The you know, I don't want to repeat myself like 3 weeks in a row and about 10 times on this one episode alone, but it's all just about that final important one, that final passage of play, that final pass, that killer instinct. But we saw that, you know, in moments in this game, in terms of maybe there were opportunities and maybe a little bit more confidence, and Steve Cooper maybe telling them to just have the confidence to do X, Y, Z. And we saw that a little bit in this one. I think Morgan Gibbs-White, for me, looked like he was trying really hard, maybe too hard at times. And that's been a criticism of his at times. But I think, you know, once something just falls for him and some of these other players, then hopefully we can kick start and the ball gets rolling.
And I think that's where I'd sum up the start of the season, really. I think we've sat here and talked for 20-odd minutes about the number of chances that Forest have made. And yes, you know, we want them to be more clinical. We need them to take one of those chances. But I'm sure we sat here. In fact, I'm 100% positive we sat here this time last year talking about away performances and Forest having 20% possession and not creating a single chance, right? We're creating chances. Yes, we're not putting them away, but we're creating them, and we're looking ahead of a lot of we're looking a better side, and we're challenging teams now. And Forest look like they belong. I think we said that a lot already this season, but they do look like they belong. And I think it just takes that, you know, that it to click, and I think Forest will be a really good side. I think Forest will all make changes every week. I don't think you're going to see a settled 11. There's not many teams in the Premier League that keep a settled 11. You've got a 25-man squad. Most teams use those squads. You'll see probably maybe one, two, three changes a week, just refreshing it up, different players suiting different opposition. Forest perhaps at times needing to change the way they approach it based on the opposition that they're playing. That's going to happen. That's fine. That's why Forest have brought as many players in and have got the squad that they've got. But they've got options. They've got really good options. You know, go back to my point earlier on in terms of I would much rather have Forest strength in depth over Palace's if we were to have an injury problem crisis the way we did last year. I think we'd be okay. I think we've got enough about us. So I think we're well set this season. I think I see plenty enough in Forest at the moment to know that Forest will be okay this season. They look like they're going to be progressing. And I think Forest will be on that journey that we probably expect them to be in and probably finish about where we are now, right? In that, my expectations haven't changed in terms of that 10th, maybe down to 14th position is where Forest will finish the season. And I think this is a solid point, right? This is take the injuries aside, I get that. But given the players that Palace still had available, I think the way we've gone there and performed, kept a clean sheet, created chances, yes, disappointed we didn't score, but we're really, really positive performance all round, I think. And I think going into the international break, I think this is a good yardstick of, we were saying this game is really a yardstick of where Forest are. I think, as I say, it's probably summed up the first eight games in a nutshell. But I think everyone's feeling at the club pretty positive going in. There's, you know, a little bit of disappointment because of not scoring here. But I think overall, the way the first eight games have played out, given the fixtures away from home especially, I think everyone could feel pretty positive.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's generally a positive feeling. I think, like you say, for me, I think I look at the Burnley at home, Brentford at home, and this one, you know, in terms of the points picked up, and I would have maybe liked a little bit more. And I think if everyone was honest, they would have maybe with a little bit of excitement and momentum from that transfer deadline day as well, that they would have said that, and the Chelsea game, of course, they would have said that they would have liked maybe a little bit more from those three games, if people are being completely honest. I think what it does do, I'm not saying that necessarily that the points they've picked up are bad points in all of those games, but I think it does put a bit of pressure on the next game, which for me has to be 3 points. It has to. I think people would have said they have to get 3 points regardless of the points they picked up in the last three anyway. But I would say that they have to get 3 points in that game. I know people go, it's too early to kind of judge, but we know from last season, you know, you don't want to be in a place where you're chasing your tail a little bit after dropping points or this, that and the other. I think Forest have picked up some good points, and the important thing is the performances, and we are seeing that. They have to show a bit more cutting edge against Luton. That has to be a win for me. It just has to be. So, you know, if you come out with another point from that game, you look at the points over that four-game run, and that isn't positive for me. So it has to be 3 points. Then you look at it a bit more. This is the thing. You're kind of working out, you know, from the next one, all right, if we win that one, then actually your points that you've got so far, yeah, really positive. But, you know, what you don't want to do is look back on those games and the points that have ground out due to certain situations, like in the Brentford game. Burnley game was a bit of a weird one, obviously, with lots of new players coming in. And this Palace game, just generally, you know, being away, difficult Palace, but with their injuries as well, you know, that's something to consider. You don't want to come out of that going, we definitely needed more from those games. So it does have to be 3 points now from Luton for me.
Yeah, I think we said, didn't we, after Burnley going into that Brentford, Palace, Luton run, we said, how many points would Forest realistically be looking for? We said 7 would be a really good return. Obviously 9, excellent. 7, really good return. But 5 wouldn't be the worst return. Now, the way the games have played out, you could argue that all night long, whether that would be a good or a bad return. But I think if Forest were to go and get 3 points against Luton, I think that in that sequence of games, from what we've seen, I think it would turn out to be positive. But I agree, Forest do need to now go and beat Luton and put on a bit of a performance at home as well, because obviously the last two home games have been a bit of a mixed bag. So I think Forest have got an opportunity. I mean, let's talk about Luton. Let's talk about Luton next up after the break. So Luton, look, I think a lot of people expect Luton to be in a relegation battle this season. I think there's a lot of people that are expecting Luton to really, really struggle. They've had a tough start, but they're fourth bottom at the moment, 4 points after 8 games. You know, their only win of the season so far coming in their last away game at Everton. So they can be a danger. They've got a couple of players who can be a nuisance, let's say. What have you made of Luton so far? Is it kind of playing to type? I mean, I don't know if you watched any of their game at the weekend at home to Spurs. They caused Spurs some trouble when Spurs had gone down to 10 men, but albeit Spurs probably should have been about 5-0 up after the first 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah, I suppose that's the thing with Luton. I think, look, they will probably wait it out in games. I think they're finding their feet still in this division. Look, they're not in the relegation zone like everyone thought they would be at this point, just about, but they're not. I think, you know, they're still finding their feet, but as I say, they will wait it out. I think they'll be quite happy for Forest to have loads of possession. What Forest can't do in this game is miss chances or not create. They need to find a way. They need to take the confidence from the way that they played in the Palace game and take that into the Luton game. They've obviously got another, you know, international break, as you say, now to kind of find their feet even further with this new group of players. So it's one of those ones that it's not to be disrespectful to Luton, because Forest were, you know, I mean, different circumstances because of the, well, just the general immenseness of the amount of signings Forest made, obviously, in the summer in comparison to what Luton have done since they've come up. But, you know, Luton are finding their feet in this division and they're grounding out the odd point now. But it still has to be a must win, I think. Forest still have to see Luton as a threat. They still have to know that there is a threat about them in terms of the pace that they've got and maybe hitting Forest on the break. They can't just expect that Luton are just going to roll over and give Forest the 3 points, which is why that cutting edge is so, so important in this one, because if they don't, football just always has a funny way of punishing you.
They're going to work hard. You know that about Luton. We saw that in the Championship with Luton. They're honest. They'll give 110%. You know, they will come at you. They have got pace. They will cause you problems. There's not too many household names within that squad. Andros Townsend signed for them today on a free transfer. He will probably come into that side, you would imagine, against Forest in a couple of weeks' time. You know, they've got players like, I think Carlton Morris has looked a bit of a handful. He was a hand, you know, I would have described Carlton Morris as no more than a handful at Championship level, but he's definitely come into the Premier League and, you know, he's probably been a bright spot for Luton in the opening few games. They've got Adebayo as well, who can come on and cause you problems with his pace and power. So you talk about Murillo and Bolly, they've got to be honest, right? They've got to be on their game. It can't just be a game that Forest can be blasé about. But with all that said, Forest will think this opportunity, right? They will look at this one. Forest back themselves at home no matter what. You know, they will back themselves to pick up points against the very best at home. They'll be looking at this one going, this is a game where we need to be picking up 3 points, where we can hurt them. They'll go into that in terms of real confidence, won't they? And I think it's interesting the way the fixtures play out next weekend. I mean, but I think Bournemouth play Wolves, which is probably an interesting one. I think Sheffield United are at home to Man United, so they might look at that the way Man United are and go, you know, that is an opportunity. But I just look at this, and if Forest can get 3 points against Luton, I think it caps off that positive start that Forest will have. It also, you know, potentially puts a decent gap into that bottom three. And I know some people are talking about Forest being fine no matter what, and Forest don't need to worry about it. I think the first job Forest need to do this season is pick up points and make sure that that gap is a decent gap and remains a decent gap. That's got to be the first and foremost priority. And I think this gives them a big chance to do that.
Yeah, and I think, look, we're talking about Forest won't be afraid of anyone at home, never mind, you know, a team that maybe, you know, the odds will be in Forest's favour. But Luton won't be scared of Forest either. You know, if you're a newly promoted side, regardless of what we think with this new squad and the players that Forest have signed, and from what we've seen, the way that Luton fans will be thinking about it as well, they're just one of the newly promoted sides from last season that are still finding their feet and still having a team to gel and you know, are, you know, still susceptible at times to making mistakes as a result of all that. So they will be coming to Forest and they will probably look at Forest as one of the teams that if they're to stay up, you know, they have to be making a good effort at Forest, at home and away. So, yeah, it's going to be a difficult game, a more difficult game than maybe some expect. But, again, still one that Forest have to get the 3 points in.
How did Forest approach this then? With that in mind, obviously, with the you know, looking to be no doubt front-footed, get at Luton, hurt them with the qualities that Forest have. Do they stick to a 4-3-3 or do you see Forest reverting to a 4-2-3-1, if you like, and dropping one of those centre midfielders for an Alanga, let's say, and really trying to get in behind Luton? It's a difficult one, right? Because you want to almost keep the structure you've got and don't want to be too aggressive, because that backfired a little bit against Burnley.
Yeah, I think they'll stick to the 4-3-3 and I think they'll focus on doing what they've done well so far in the games, which is keeping hold of possession, being dynamic in midfield, something that Forest very much weren't last season. I think they'll want to keep that up, keep those, you know, little sequences still going. The key to this one is, you know, this work that they're doing in the international break has to be all about how we getting that ball into that top three or whoever's playing and wherever they're playing, you know, how are we getting the ball to Gibbs White? Where will he be on the pitch at that point? Where is Hudson-Odoi? What's he going to do with the ball when it's at his feet? You know, this isn't to be disrespectful to Luton, because like I said, I think this will be a tough game than people think. But for someone like Callum Hudson-Odoi and an Anthony Elanga, this has to be a game where you also see it as an opportunity to build your confidence and start doing things that maybe you haven't had the confidence to do fully so far, running at defenders, beating your man, getting a shot on target, and hopefully a goal with the quality that they've got behind them. So I think they'll stick to making sure that they keep large swathes of the ball. And the one thing that those three have done as well is, you know, we saw the heat map from Dominguez after the Palace game and he was all over the pitch. They're really good at, you know, recovering the ball as well. So I don't think they'll want to lose that. I know it's the easy answer to give is, yeah, go more attacking, take one of them out and put another attacker on. But as you say, the risk there is that you lose control of the game. And I think the important thing for this one is keep control of the game, and the quality of players that you've got within that front three, whoever it is, should be good enough. And maybe even a member of that midfield three. We saw Sangare kind of going a little bit more attacking at times in terms of his positioning on the pitch, and Dominguez, they was kind of moving about. Maybe he'll just say that. He'll say, look, we know you've got quality. Sangare, definitely, in terms of, you know, you've got the odd goal here and there at PSV, get forward. You know, maybe yeah. Have a bit of a go itself, you know, or even if you get forward, it might leave space for you to pass it on to a Hudson-Odoi because a defender then comes to you. So I think that's what they'll do. And yeah. I think it's what they should do.
I feel like it'd be a very similar setup to the last two as well. I feel like they played really well first half against Brentford. And I feel like, yeah, as you say, Sangare getting forward, Dominguez is literally everywhere. Mangala sweeping up at the back. I think that midfield three is really starting to click as well. I don't want to lose that really so much. And I think they can get forward. They can give you that protection as well. I think it will be a midfield battle. I say Luton will get their foot stuck in it. It'll be a really tough game there. So I agree, 4-3-3 for me, I suppose. Let's talk about the team lineup. I mean, I think, so after the two performances we've seen, a lot of it picks itself. We've said that already. I think if Aina's in, I think we probably agree he drops straight back in at left back. If Aurier's fit, he keeps his place. I think Bolly, Murillo stay where they are. I think they're building quite a nice partnership now. Bolly, by the way, absolutely outrageous signing last season. He's turned into be a really solid, dependable centre-back for the fee that Forest paid. It's absolutely brilliant. Turner keeps his place, can't drop him after Palace. Midfield three, we were talked about that we'll retain those. Hudson-Odoi, Gibbs-White, they play. I think the only contentious choice would be up top, potentially, depending on injuries. And I think I've got a sneaky feeling for this one. He goes with Origi. After training him for 2 weeks, running him for 2 weeks, working on that fitness, I think Origi potentially gives you more like-for-like versus a Wanyi, and I think he starts this one for me.
Or we all know he likes to play games with the injury, so a Wanyi might be back in.
Well,
who knows?
That'd be very good. Yeah.
I mean, I
probably
wouldn't be surprised if, you know, whether people like this or not, but whether he goes for a front three of Gibbs-White, Elanga, Hudson-Odoi. You know, so
partly expected that away at Palace, if I'm honest. When the news broke potentially of a Wanyi being injured, I did wonder, but I think the fact you've got two strikers on the bench in Wood and Origi, I think he's got more options. I don't feel like I don't think he thought he had that at times last year, which is why he tried to shoehorn Lingard, Johnson, and Gibbs-White into the same team. I feel like he's got a little bit more trust in Wood and Origi this time around.
Yeah, potentially. I think he might want to keep Chris Wood as an option off the bench for this one in terms of, let's say things aren't going your way and you're not finding that finishing touch in the final third, then he might go, right, get balls into the box and Chris Wood, your job's to get on the end of them. So I wouldn't be surprised if he was to be an impact sub in the game if needed. And, you know, even if Forest are winning by that point, he might like the idea of just switching it up and bombarding them in a different way. But yeah, I think, look, Let's see if the injury to a Wanyi is as bad as he first put out. But it could be Origi's game to start.
Give us a score prediction then.
I'm gonna go 3-0 Forest.
Yeah, me and all. I was wondering where you were going.
Between
there.
2-3-0. That's between 2-3-0. That's all.
No. But I'm going to go 3. I think this will actually it'll be a tougher game than I think that score prediction from us is probably coming across. And it's not being blasé. I think we know Luton are going to give us a game. I've just, from what I've seen over the last few weeks, I feel
I think there's a bit of a stigma at the moment Yeah, I also think there's a bit of a stigma at the moment to not being too critical on Luton, isn't there? In terms of, you've almost got to, when you're talking about Luton, you've got to say, well, not to be disrespectful or anything like that. I mean, there is a bit of a quality difference on paper in terms of those sides in the league in comparison to them, and that's naturally from where they've come from to where they are now and how quickly that's happened and the resources they've currently got, right? So, but there's no bad feeling or you know, fair play to them for being where they are, and that's not being disrespectful either. They will make games difficult for teams as the season goes on. They will have their own way of doing things, and they will make it hard for teams to break them down. That's the key for them, really, in terms of going on in the season. And if they do that well, who knows what will happen. So, yeah, I think it will be more difficult, but I don't think there's anything wrong in saying on paper that your team should be beating that team. So
3-0, done and dusted. We'll have it. We're looking forward to this one. It could be a good one. We've got a hell of a day planned for this one, so might be a delayed pod next time round as well, but should be a good day. We're missing a hell of a lot of sport on our travels that day, but we'll pick that up offline. Let's end with a guess who. Obviously, last week's guess who was, of course, Glenn Murray. Nice and easy. This week's tedious link to Luton. So this player signed for Forest from Arsenal in the summer of 2012. He played 145 games for Forest, scoring 32 goals before leaving to join Villa in the winter of 2017. He's also had spells at Norwich, West Ham, Bristol City before joining Luton, and he retired in the summer after his contract expired with the Hatters. Who is that? Again, another easy one, Tom. I think
he's also a little bit naughty, you know, in terms of some of the kickings he gives players on the pitch as well.
There you go. An extra bonus clue if you needed it. Brilliant. I enjoyed that episode. It's been really good. It's good to have you back in one piece, Tom. Glad you made it back from Vegas. If you want to email us, you can get us at timeaddedonpod@outlook.com. You can give us a follow on Spotify, Apple. Please leave a review. It definitely helps. We've had some great reviews so far, some great feedback. So please keep that going if you don't already follow us there. And you can follow us on X as well at Time Added on Pods. We will be back not next week, actually. We'll have another week off. We'll have a weekend off. We'll be back in a couple of weeks post-Luton after what will hopefully be a huge 3 points for Forest. See you then. Come on, you heads.